Locals Only Podcast with Gavin Glass, bringing you the best new Irish talent every week from Radio Nova and Nova.ie.
Yeah, it's Locals Only, the place where you get the brightest, the bold, the brave and the beautiful of what has gone on out there in the Irish music scene. And I'm joined by the lads from Crazy Crow. The lads are here with me and we're going to be talking about this album and they have a couple of gigs coming up. Lads, you are very welcome. I have on guitar the wonderful Jerry Guitar Hendrix, Dennis Dorn on vocals and harp, Paul Byrne on bass vocals, Paul Monolith, bass god Byrne, by the way, and Jeff Kirk on drums. Lads, how are we doing? Thank you for being here with me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yep. Great to be here. Tell me a little bit about this record. You recorded it with the wonderful Al Cowan.
We did. Al down in Sonic,
yeah. Al gave me my first ever start in the him and Paul Thomas in the studio business, so I owe a big gratitude of debt to him.
He's a great guy and he's so easy to work with, like, yeah, you know, that's the important thing. And then you get so much done.
Yes.
And so little time, you know, it's great.
Whenever I always found when I used to work for Al, he just was an amazing, calming experience with bands, particularly younger bands who'd be coming in that have that kind of, you know, red light fever. Al was just this brilliant, calming.
He always
presence.
Has great stories and little stories.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
Funny.
I love him. How did this band get together, though? Because I know all your names from being session heads over the years and being in and out of JJ's and seeing you guys playing from afar. How did this kind of, because you know, it's a little bit of a super group, if that.
Well, thanks term. Very much.
Well, you know, some serious gunslingers on this.
Well, I kind of disappeared off that scene, you know, the scene as it were, for a while.
Yeah,
and the boys had been still playing, but I knew Jerry and Paul from the old days in the business when we all had our various periods in the business.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And what dragged you back into it, Dennis? It's like
a phone
mafia.
Call. A phone
really?
Call from Paul. Yeah, I wasn't doing anything and didn't know what I was going to be doing. To be honest with you, I had done all the corporate scene and stuff like that, and that band just folded and. I wasn't doing anything, and then phone rang one day and it was Paul.
Would you like to get your soul dry cleaned?
Well, yeah, you could say that. I think they were a bit they were wondering what I'd be looking like after all these years, but apparently I looked alright.
And how was it when he's got into the room? I mean, like, I just heard you sound checking and it was like, holy Jesus, that is like,
well, it worked. One of the first things I think we all said when I got on board, I said, look, lads, it'd be great, but let's start writing. And the boys had been writing anyway from before, but I was always writing as well, you know.
And is the writing process, it is everybody, I mean, Jerry, you're obviously getting stuck in that in a big way. I know you write and you do your own...
We were all sort of... myself and Paul had been working together and Jeff and me, we talked about basically getting in and trying to write some stuff and it didn't really come together until Dennis came in, because what we were really lacking was lyrical content and imagination in our area. So when I had ideas for basic ideas for songs, but then I'd just give Dennis the idea and he'd run with it, and he'd ring me back the following day and say, listen, I have this lyric sheet, what do you think it is? And it really was effortless, really.
And it's something I really thought the lyrics were really, really strong, particularly
really strong.
Krakow, I mean, that refrain of, you know, it's heavy subject you're tackling there. And
Jerry was sowed the initial seed for that. He had been to Auschwitz and Birkenau, and I had. And I just fed off his initial kind of inspiration for it.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like to bring a spiritual element to it as well. I don't mean that now in any religious way, you know, but...
Praise his name here today. Yeah, we're going to have church here.
Praise the Lord and send the money.
Oh, I might be in trouble for that, actually.
Sure, look. And so that's the way we write some songs together. Jerry will give me a lyric. And even Paul, now Paul is good at that as well. He give me, and Jeff gave me a lyric recently about his dad who passed away. And he gave me some lyrics and we're going to... we have a song in the oven there.
Ah, great. You know what I mean? Great. Well, listen, will you give us a live song? We need to talk about these gigs first, though. You guys, the reason why I'm rushing you is not because I would stay here and listen and talk to you all evening, but I have Paul Cleary coming up, I have Inside a Wave coming up, but also these guys are literally, they have a 16-wheeler tour bus outside waiting for them to bring them to the Brian Boru out in Howth, where they'll be playing tonight if you want to get
That's in Glasnevin.
Oh, Glasnevin. I beg your pardon.
Up there at the Cross Guns Bridge.
And what time he's plugging in at?
We set up before we come down here because we want to be prepared. So we'll be probably kicking off a little later. Depends on when we get there, but about 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, great. Well, you're also playing in the Eastside Tavern. We're going to Wet the Baby's Head, moving on, Crazy Crow, the debut album. When is that happening?
That's on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Evening.
The 17th of October.
And if anybody wants to text into the show, 087 18 18 100, I'll be giving away a pair of tickets. Plus, I've also got a load of albums here for you to give away, so do get in touch on that. You're going to give me a live song before you go?
Yep.
What are you going to play?
Are we going to do... okay, yeah. Good to be wrong.
Good to be wrong.
Little bluesy number, so...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Crazy Crow. It is Radio Nova.
Stick it in your skin. Very soon your sorry story starts wearing thin. I know you wanna be right. I know you wanna be strong. Yeah, it's good to be right. Sometimes it's good to be wrong. What people want to hear, wear that silly grin. Very soon your sorry story starts wearing thin. I know you want to be right. I know you want to be strong. Don't mean you're weak. Sometimes it's good to be wrong,
having a Super Soul Sunday here at Radio Nova. That is the sound of Crazy Crow, who are down in the Eastside Tavern this Wednesday night releasing their Well, I don't, you know, I didn't think any kid was going to save the Blues. You know, it's going to take a bunch of alphas to do it. And, you know, hail, hail, crazy crow.
That's me, that's it.
Thank you for being here, lads. And I think, you know what, I love hearing a band of players like that. It's just good for the soul. Wednesday in the East Side, and they're going to be over in the Brian Brew in Glasnevin in about an hour. Yeah. And they're having happy hour over there where it's 2 for 1. Just tell them Gavin Nova said that. Okay, listen, I've got Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
keep you. Keep making those music and writing the tunes.
Locals Only. With Gavin Glass, bringing you the best new Irish talent every week. Radio Nova.
Paul Cleary from The Blades, how are you?
I'm good, Gavin, yeah.
Was it about a year was the last time you were with me?
Yeah, it was around this time last year. And again, we were playing the Academy, which we will be doing this year. And it's Saturday the 15th.
We got to get that Santa money in.
Oh, yeah, in December. And it's a great night because last time it was a weekday. So there's still room for a few more. But this time I think it's going to be fairly full. So you get tickets at Ticketmaster. But I mean, I do want to promote the gig as much as I can because we don't do that many now. It's very important for me and, okay. and the band.
Well, we'll talk you all know? About the gig. Yeah. Don't worry about that. I want to get, you know, I want the real shit, Paul.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, okay. The new single. Like, where are these tunes coming from? Like, I'm hearing Bacharach, I'm hearing, like, Costello. Like, yeah. there's a lot of expensive chords in that tune.
A couple of, minor sevens, let's say.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. Well, look, I love Burt Bacharach anyway. I mean, yeah. you know, my dad had a lot of Dionne Warwick records. I liked Elvis Costello from when I first heard him.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember I was doing a program recently about some of my favourite songs, and I picked No Action by Elvis Costello because it was the first track from this year's Model.
Yeah.
That was the second album. Now, myself and my brother, Larry, who died this year, we were big fans of Costello, and yeah, he's one of the reasons that
I
really,
didn't know Larry. I'm
he,
so
he
sorry.
He did, yeah, oh. yeah. He passed away. He was only 60 years of
so
age.
So sorry, man. Yeah.
yeah. Look, I love Larry and I loved him and he was my big brother and I always looked up to
and
him.
And he's, you know, he's as much part of the story as the Blades.
Look, he was. We co-founded the band. There's no, I mean, people think it's my band and in a way, you know, I'm the last survivor.
You're the Ray Davis of the brothers.
From the Ring's End. Blades. And therefore, I'm still carrying the torch as such, although Brian and Jake have been there now since 1981 or two, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, Larry, myself and Larry started the band, really, and then Pat Larkin on drums came along. But I remember
crazy going to Pat Larkin, if you're out there listening to me, oh, how are you, buddy?
Yeah.
yeah absolute headbanger.
Ah, he's great.
I love him.
We went to see Elvis Costello, would you believe, in the old Stella Cinema, which has now been reopened in Rathmines. And we went to the Sandy Mount Green. Drank a noggin of vodka there. We were old enough. I think we were 19 or 20. And got to number 18, if I remember. So up to Rathmines. And went to see Elvis Costello. And he opened up with that song, No Action. And that was the first time. That was the first time he had played the songs from this year's Model. I was a real, you know. Anyway, so he's always been a big influence on me.
Have you heard the new record? He brought a record.
No, I believe it's very good. I heard it's very good.
Some saying it's his best.
Look, he's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
So I was always into him from those early days. So if you hear some, I mean, in fact, our first demo we did in 1978 in Lombard Studios here in Dublin as well. You could hear his influence on my vocals even then. In fact, more so then, I think, till I developed my own voice, if you like.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you guys always had the, you know, the lazy U2 comparison and all that, but the amount of times I've been in a taxi drive, ride home from a night out of or from a gig or whatever, and people might know me from the radio station, and they always, you know, say, you play the Irish music, and I go, I do, and inevitably, it'll always come around to the Blades.
Yeah.
They'll always say, they were the band you two should have been, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you go, like, I've heard it so many times, but there was that thing that, you know, you lads had a little bit more musicality in the chops, and, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, the comparison, of course, is because we were around at the same time, with the same age.
And the Baggot and
all. And the Baggot and the Dandelion Marconnell. But really, I think we were very different bands.
Totally,
and,
yeah.
You know, I don't think, I take as a compliment when people say, I certainly don't think we were more musical. I don't know, I think we maybe had I wouldn't even say we'd more energy. We're just different type of bands. I think we were a fledgling pop band. They were a rock band, if you like.
Yeah.
So we were different. I mean, obviously, it's a bit silly of me to say they were good at what they did, you know.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. But like, we were different bands. And so our crowd didn't really mix. There was no real cross-pollination. And therefore, there seemed to be a rivalry. But there was wasn't really a rivalry between the bands. I mean, they were quite civil and quite nice to us, really. And they never damaged their sound. You know, that was the usual thing in those days where the main band would sort of would ruin the support band's sound so they would sound great. They never did that to us. They always gave us decent sound and so on.
But they do that back in the day.
Oh,
yeah.
They did. Yeah. I mean, it was competitive in that sense.
Wow.
And in a way, a little bit small-minded, you know. And if we were the victims of it at times ourselves. And when we started to have support bands, I always made sure, and I'd say to the sound men, give them as good a sound as they can have. Because I just think it's very petty and pointless.
Yeah.
It did happen. But I can say, no, you too never did it, you know. Never did it to us anyway, you know.
But you were saying there about the fans and, you know, the cross-pollination. Yeah. But you really have had such a loyal following, and, you know, the Academy gig was rammed, and, you know, like, I'm sure it's the next one's going to be rammed. I mean, was that something... have you kept in touch with these people? Has there been a Blades fan base, or is there some... who's keeping all that going?
I tell you what happened. Now, I was very ignorant of all this. Of course, I knew we always had good, loyal fans.
Yeah.
You know, I've met and I spoke to at the gigs and stuff. When we revived the Blades in 2013, I was told that we had to have a social media profile. So I didn't know what this was. Honestly, now, I'm not, you know,
yeah.
I'm a bit of a Luddite anyway. But we're like, okay, well, why is that? Well, because it's all about social media now. It's all about Facebook and those type of things. So, you know, the Blades are now on Twitter and Facebook. But it's only then I realised how many fans we had. And it's much easier now for the fans to talk to each other. Even fans, I think it's a bit patter, supporters, let's say,
yeah,
the band.
Yeah.
To talk to each other and for me to talk to them and so on. And that's when I realised how steadfast and loyal that our supporters were, you know. So that's when we played the Olympia in 2013. In fact, you know, I was a bit reluctant to take the Olympia as a venue. I thought, well, we're going to do well.
Yeah.
Right? And next thing I got a phone call saying, look, that's sold out, Paul. You want to do another night the night after? I thought, two nights? And we sold out two nights in the Olympia.
Amazing.
And we hadn't played since. So that was from 1986 was our last gig as the Blades Mark One to 2013. That's a lot of years in between. But that's even more of a reason, I think, to be really proud of the fact that they came along. And look, I would say this, wouldn't I? But I think our fans are great, our supporters. I think they're very knowledgeable crowd. Mm. They really like the music. And they're not the type of people, obviously, it's self-evident, who support the band because the band is successful, because we're not successful, certainly internationally anyway. We're unknown. Therefore, people who come and see the band, see the Blades, like the Blades for their music. And not because...
and that connection.
Not because the Blades are well known. They actually genuinely like the band themselves. So that gives me great heart, you know. Every time I go on stage and there's a few hundred people there to see the band, the Blades, who are not an international act, it's great. It really is great, you know. It gives me great heart, you know.
Yeah. I want to play Two Dimensions from the record that came out just a little over a year ago. But you were working with Conor Brady. Did Conor produce the record?
Oh, no, it was Pat Dunn. Pat Dunn produced it with me. Conor's been in the band. Conor joined around 1982 or 3. 1984, after the album. Around 1984, Conor joined.
Right, okay.
And I just wanted to bolster up the sound because we'd used a couple of guitars, even though I played the guitars on the album. I wanted to be able to try and reproduce that sound again.
The chimey thing.
So Conor, and I mean, we had lots of guitarist auditions, and Conor was one of the last of maybe 50 people. And, it, you know, again, it's a cliche thing to say, but the minute he played.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
And as importantly, though, in those days, you're going to be getting into a van and going around the country. So Conor's a lovely, sweet guy, and still is. He was then and still is. Very intelligent man, but also very unassuming.
Yeah.
A very modest person. And to me, he's a real genius as a guitarist. And he's so modest, you know.
I couldn't agree more.
Locals Only. With Gavin Glass. Bringing you the best new Irish talent every week. Radio Nova.
You are very welcome back, my beautiful dreamers, to Locals Only with your host, Gavin Glass. And I'm delighted to say that I have Paul Cleary of the Blades in here with me. And, you know, just listen even to the two of the newer songs. And going back to the album, Paul, there was always, you'd always something to say in terms of a protest or, you know, a lot of time when the Blades were in the glory years,
mm-hmm.
It was a tough time to live in Dublin. And, you know, you came from Ringsend, which, you know, had its own troubles in the 80s and stuff.
Sure.
You know, when you look at the younger music and pop music that's going on, there is very little voice of dissent. There's very little younger lads, angry young men with guitars, you know, trying to make a point.
Yeah, I'm still proud of my air working class roots, you know, and I wanted that to be in the music, and I wanted that to be, it was always going to be part of who I am and what I was trying to say. Although I didn't want to be overtly political all the time, you know, I think one of the most important things in life are matters of the heart and love and lack of love and breaking up and all those type of things. So I certainly didn't want to exclude any of that stuff, which is the most important stuff in terms of songwriting, really. But also, I did want the songs, most of the songs that I wrote, to reflect who I was and where I was from. I'm not as familiar with the new stuff as I should be, I suppose. But, you know, I have heard that criticism, that there really isn't that social realism, if you like, in a lot of music now. And that's a shame, you know, because I think people should, songs and music, it should be as real and as honest as it can be. And therefore, I think if you're from an area that maybe, you know, if you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, there's no shame in that and there's no harm in writing songs that reflect that situation, you know.
Well, look, let's play the song. It, you know, but when you listen to it, it couldn't be any more apt now, you know.
Sure.
30-odd years later, it's... Anyway, let's play. This is Downmarket. It's Paul Cleary from The Blaze. I'm delighted to say that I've managed to get this man to do a live session for me. It's Nova.
Everything's black and white and grey, living from day to day to day. I suppose I can't be choosy when there's not too many choices. With the problems of a nation, I'm not waiting at an airport, I'm not waiting at a station, I'm standing at a bus stop, Downmarket. Same old jukebox, same old tune. It's hard to break an old routine. Everything's black and white and grey, living from day to day to day. It's a fatal resignation when there's nothing left to hope for. In a hopeless situation, I'm not waiting at an airport, I'm not waiting at a station, I'm standing at a bus stop, Downmarket.
Yeah, stone cold classic. Downmarket, Paul Cleary live. Where would you get it? It's on Nova. Just thinking of that, like, you know, when you were talking about success and what we think is of success, and you know, you probably never realised, but like, you know, what you guys were doing was laying the foundation. You were trailblazing for the what was going to happen, you know, years later with Irish rock. And you probably never see it, and you know, don't get told that, but of course you get told that.
Well, like, I do, and it's great, and you know, I want to say to the people, never don't stop telling me, because it does give me encouragement.
Yeah, the hairs on my arm, Paul, just
oh, great, like,
You know.
Great.
So if you want to go and see this man with his trailblazing band, see how they're doing and how the arthritis is kicking in and what have you, get down to the Olympia. What date is the gig, Paul?
No, it's the Academy.
Or the Academy.
And it's Saturday the 15th. I have in my hand a piece of paper, as was it Neville Chamberlain said. Anyway, I just want to make sure I have the date right because I got it wrong before. So it's the Academy, Saturday the 15th of December, and tickets are at Ticketmaster. And, you know, I want as many people to get down. And honestly, this has happened. Even at the Olympia in 2013 and the following year, people saw us for the first time, and it's great, and I want to see new faces. And they were like people half my age, and I swear to you, they said, it's a great gig, and they came to the next one too. So I'm saying to anyone out there who has an interest in that type of music, I'd love to see them. And you know yourself, Gavin, the place goes wild. It's a yeah. great gig. A Blades gig, it's a great atmosphere. They're yeah. great people there, you know?
The fans are as much a part of it as the gig
itself.
Oh,
they are, definitely,
you know?
Definitely.
And it's coming up to Christmas. It'd be a great night out you know, an L gang. Paul Cleary, thank you so much for being my guest. You
Brilliant.
Are
Thanks
a living legend,
us.
Dude. Thank you. That's it for this week's Locals Only podcast. Join us next week for more. And of course, catch the show Sunday evenings from 6 on Radio Nova.
The Locals Only podcast with Gavin Glass. Seriously addictive podcasting from Nova.ie and Radio Nova. Radio Nova.